Good morning. I'm going to be hosting this episode of Women of Power International. I am author and spiritual strategist Mocha Uzori of Sisters in Christ International and Sisters in Christ International. Sorry, Sisters in Christ Global. I got confused. I'm trying to meld the two together. And I'm so happy to have this partnership with Pastor Chantel. We ran into some issues, but praise God, we will be continuing this partnership into 2017, and it is such an honor and a privilege for me to be able to, you know, conclude this partnership in 2016 with this episode, and I'm really excited about the topic for today. But before I get into all of that, there's just a couple more things I wanted to say to Pastor Chantel. Thank you so much. It has been such a great journey partnering with you, especially in our infancy. It's been great coming up together. I believe that God has great and mighty things in store for Sisters in Christ Global as well as Women of Power International. So just hold on and keep your faith. Keep walking in righteousness. God sees your every move. He knows your heart, and your heart is so beautiful and beautifully expressed through this ministry and especially this broadcast. Also, I want to just say to the Sisters in Christ Global who have been supporting me, I appreciate you so much. I understand that, you know, life throws us curveballs, but what your willingness and your heart is what matters most to me. And I believe what matters most to God as well. And so that trumps everything else. And you have been faithful and diligent and dedicated. And I do appreciate you. I look forward to the things that God has in store for us in 2017. I also want to say to those of you who may not be following either ministries, please go by Facebook, check out Women of Power International and Sisters in Christ Global. We have a blog. You can find that on our website, which is sistersinchristglobal.com. And very soon you will be able to visit womenofpowerinternational.com. That's coming. But in the meantime, please follow them on Twitter, on Instagram, and definitely on Facebook. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to go right ahead and go into prayer before we start talking about the topic. So I'm going to ask those of you who are listening to just please just clear your mind, free from any, you know, thing that might be going on right now, whatever you're doing, if you're multitasking, I'm going to ask you to just please stop and be still with me at this time. Father God, we just acknowledge you as the head of our lives and the creator of all things, God. We thank you for loving and caring about us so much that you sent us the most beautiful, most precious, most wonderful gift of all. And that was your son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed and died and then was resurrected so that we might once again live with you in eternity. And while we're here on earth, God, you have transferred some mighty, mighty gifts of power to us. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the ability to be able to reach out across the whole entire globe and speak life and love and joy to one another, God, to encourage and uplift one another, God. We thank you for this medium to be able to do that. There might be someone listening, God, who's feeling discouraged, who's feeling alone, God, but through this mighty ministry of Women of Power International, God, we are able to say that you're not alone, that they are loved, that there is someone who cares, and that someone is you, God. And we ask that you just bless this broadcast, God, that whoever's listening, that they get what their heart yearns for the most, whether it be comfort, God, whether it be guidance, God, whether it be confirmation, Lord, whatever it is that they are in need of, God, financial relief, God, healing in the name of Jesus. We just speak it right now, God. And we pray that your will always be done here on earth as it is in heaven, God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, and we claim them done. Thank God. Amen. All right. So this episode, we're going to be talking about just our personal and ministry vision and planning. In the new year, we start thinking about a whole lot of things that we want to be different about our physical appearance, about our financial portfolios, you know, all of these different things. But I don't think we pay enough attention to the spiritual aspect of ourselves. And for those of us who have been called to specific ministries, enough detail to the ministry and the growth of the ministry and where we're going and assessing where we are. And so I thought this would be just a great opportunity to talk about that and put some forethought into it right now today. I thank God for giving me this message and this study. When I went on the internet to just find some tools and some things to kind of back what God has given me up, I was so grateful to come across two very, very powerful tools that I will be giving to you. And a link will also be provided on the website, Sisters in Christ Global, and also on our pages on Facebook. I'm sure that Pastor Chantel will tweet them as well. So if you miss it during the broadcast, another thing is you can always go back and listen to pick up what you might have missed out on. That's the great thing about this medium as well. And if not, you can just run right over to Facebook, Twitter, or IG, and you can get those links to these tools. The number one tool, because prayer is very important, that communication. That's how we build our relationship and how we communicate with our Heavenly Father is through prayer. It's not just about making requests, you know. We receive instructions and guidance, and we get to know our Father this way. And so I found this app. It's called Abide.com. You can go to their website, but also you can go look on Google Play or whatever. If you have iPhones, you can go to the store there, and you can download this app. There are many things available that are for free, but they also have things for purchase. But for those of you who have an issue or don't feel comfortable praying, I think this tool is great for helping guiding you. They give you scriptures to help guide you to meditate, to focus. There's music that's available to, you know, soaking music. It's just a beautiful, beautiful tool. And the website God's Word for You, all spelled out, .com. God's Word for You, .com. And that has so many study plans, so that if you're a teacher, you're in ministry, you're doing Sunday school, you're doing women's ministry, whatever it might be, it's all free and it's so detailed and in depth. It's a gold mine. I don't know if many people know about it, but it's out there and I implore you to use it. Okay, so this particular study today is based on some information expressed in Ephesians 5. And we're going to jump around a little bit today, but don't worry about trying to write down every scripture or anything like that. It's really just fodder. I'm just really laying this out so that you know that what I'm teaching you and what we're going to be discussing has biblical foundation or validity, okay? The first thing I want to do is just break down to you, because I know you're wondering, what is spiritual strategy? What is this woman talking about? It sounds mystical to me. It's really not. I'm talking about the children of God. We are spirit. We know that this is a spiritual existence as well as a natural existence. There are two realms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and both of those kingdoms are spiritual, but they do affect us. We know that the Word of God tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So, and that's where the spiritual comes in. And we know that we exist in three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. And so we need to really focus on that aspect of ourselves, of our lives, of our being. And that is the spiritual aspect, because the spirit affects the body and the soul. What your soul is, just to go over this, I know you know, but it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's where we make our choices and our decisions, and our actions are reflected from that place. So it's really, really important. And so I just want to give you some background scriptures for what I just said. One is 1 Thessalonians. Please read that whole book. It's got a lot of stuff in it. And also Hebrews 4 and 12, just on you, you know, being able to distinguish between your spirit and your soul. Some people think they're the same thing. They are not. Okay, so check that out too. So you can say, okay, yeah, she's giving me the right information. I can ride with her on that. And just a little bit more about inner image consulting, which is what I do. And really all that is it's just spiritual guidance and helping you connect with your divine godly purpose, being able to hear and acknowledge God in his direction for your life, being able to understand the gifts that he has given you and how to implement those gifts for kingdom building and kingdom exploration, you know, and being able to draw others and glorify God through those gifts, not just self-glorification, but godly glorification. And that's what I do. I just help you connect with what's inside of you. It's that simple. Cleaning you up, you know, we always say creating me in a clean heart, but it's not something that just happens. It is a process and there's work involved. There's things that you have to do. In order for us to reach those promises of God, there are prerequisites, okay? I want to give a shout out to my sister, Sanja in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a mighty, mighty woman of God, elder. Great. My apologies for that. The great thing about being pre-recorded is you can stop and start again. It's not live. I forgot to mention that this show is pre-recorded. So if you're trying to call, you won't be able to reach me. But moving into the future, this is kind of the platform that we're going to be working with. I don't know if we're going to be doing as many live broadcasts in 2017 that we did in 2016. Okay, so let me get back on track. I believe I was just talking about us being, you know, consisting of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And I gave you 1 Thessalonians, and I also gave you Hebrews 4 and 12, where it says the sword is, the word of God is a double-edged sword, piercing and dividing spirit and soul. So yeah, we ourselves, created in God's image, are in fact a trinity. How about that? You know, there's purpose to everything that God does. Nothing is coincidental. You can believe that. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that everything is purposeful. Whether we understand it or not, does that negate the validity of its intention? Our God is intentional. And so I believe we were also just focusing on just, you know, what inner image consulting really is and the importance of connecting with your divine purpose. All right, so there are many, many areas of your life that you can focus on, but today we're going to really just pinpoint three aspects of our spiritual lives to kind of create strategy and maybe a spiritual manifesto. And those three aspects are going to be, of course, your relationship with God, your family, and then your ministry. And believe you me, whether you have a title or not, whether your ministry has a name or not, you have a mandate to go ye and make disciples. You know, so at the very least, you know, you should be doing that. And so in that case, this still applies to you. So we're going to just break it down, starting with your personal relationship with God. And I believe that is where we all should begin when we, you know, begin to strategize and plan for how we're going to walk this journey, because we know it's about endurance. It's not about how fast or slow we move through. It's just about, you know, being able to be sustained while we're on this journey, and to move forward in holiness and righteousness in a way that is pleasing to God, that demonstrates the power of his kingdom and also brings glory and honor to him, right? Okay, so I think that takes a little more forethought. And so I like to start with a personal spiritual assessment. And there are some questions that you should be asking yourself about in regards to where you are spiritually. And in this junction, it is important for you to be honest with yourself. There's no room for excuses, you know, it's just you and God. He knows everything anyway. It's a matter of you being able to acknowledge the work that needs to be done, where you're weak, where you can be stronger, and having that heart, you know, to want to be better, so that what you say is not something you're saying, but it's something you truly mean and that you're truly, truly seeking. And so there are a few questions, you know, that you can use as a point of reference to kind of help you distinguish whether or not, you know, your following or your model needs to be changed. So you need to look at what you're doing right now, you know, your habits, whether they be good or bad. And then and then in comparison to what you're doing, what you should be doing. And write all of these things down. I implore you, get a journal. I can't tell you how important it is to have a spiritual journal. You know, you hear all these things, these people journaling, people coloring and coloring books, but I believe two things, a spiritual journal and a prayer journal. You know, anything else you want to add in addition to that is fine, but those two things for me are key, because it just helps you to get a clear assessment of what's going on. And when you begin to write things out, you put intention behind your words. I believe that's why God instructed us to write the vision and make it plain. It's important. It makes it intentional. And as we stated before, that's a replica of who our God is. And we were created in His image. And if He's intentional, we should be intentional also. And then, while you're doing that personal assessment, you want to look at whether or not the things that you're doing and the things that you want to do, you want to make sure they fit in with God's standards, okay? Because first and foremost, we are children of God. We are children of light. And so we cannot hold ourselves to what the world does. You know, we have a higher accountability. You know, because our lives, again, are examples or demonstrations of the God we profess to serve. And so what you say, what you do, it matters. It matters because in some instances, it's the only way people see God. It's the only way they can understand and comprehend God. It's what helped us understand and comprehend God. You know, part of the reason why Jesus Christ came in the form of man in flesh was so that we can have that comprehension. And so that when He made that sacrifice, you know, that suffering was a joint suffering, which is why when we are submitted fully to God, we take part in that suffering as well. We don't get excluded from that. All right, I'm going to back up just a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into it right now because we don't have a lot of time. I get very excited when I start talking about this aspect of our spiritual beings because it's so important. It's why you go to church on Sunday, believe it or not. It's why you should be going to church on Sunday. You know, it should be so that you can get the information and the tools that you need for this Christian walk, you know. In your personal spiritual assessment, you want to make sure that you're following those guidelines that God has set for us. And there are plenty of instructions. You can go to Corinthians, you can go to Ephesians. It's all throughout the Bible. You know, we like to make excuses for why it's okay and why we can do certain things. But I believe there's a reason why God said be sober-minded, you know. Your standards should elevate, especially as you mature in Christ and your desire to please God increases. There are just certain things you should want to be removed, you know, because how can you hear the voice of God? How can you see God moving in your life if you won't even allow Him, you won't trust Him to take that position? You supplement you pacify yourself with whatever it is, food, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. We use all sorts of things in the place of God rather than trusting God to be those things to us. So when you're doing this assessment, excuse me, make sure that you examine every area and aspect of your life. And this is not something that you should rush through. And that's why I felt like, you know, this was the perfect time to do it, not to wait till January 1st to make your resolutions or whatever. Get your mind firm and set right now, today, while you're listening. You know, decide that, yes, God, you know, I want to increase my standard of living for you. I want to do better. I want to be a better example. I want to demonstrate more power for your glory, God. So, I think that you should sit down and really ask yourself some questions. When you start to look at those things, when you start, you know, doing the comparative, ask yourself, why? Why do I need this? Keep going, keep digging deeper. This is going to take some time. It's not a quick fix, you know, and tears may come. Things that you've been suppressing and that you may not feel comfortable dealing with are going to come up. But that's a good thing, because it will allow you to put yourself in a position to surrender those things to God. Okay, we're going to move on to family, because once we get ourselves in alignment and our mindset and our focus is heaven, is heavenly, you know, we're heavenly minded, then we can start to look outside, you know, of ourselves and start focusing on our families and focusing on how better we can help our family to mature and prosper within the body of Christ. You know, so those are some things you want to take into consideration as well. Maybe you need to implement more family prayer time, more family Bible studies. You know, is speaking more life to one another, letting go of unforgiveness. These are all things that have to do with other people that need to be worked out. The first set is about you. The second set is about other people, your family, those closest to you, you know, those ties, your husband, your children, your mother, your sister, your brothers, I should say siblings, you know, start right there, taking a look at that context, and then figuring out what needs to be done, what can be done better. You know, do I need to be more patient with my family members? You know, do I need to listen more and not speak so much? You know, are there things that I need to apologize to my family for? You know, those type of things, you know. Is everyone in my family safe? Are they believers? And do I speak about the God that I serve enough to my family? Okay, all right. I was trying to get a clock so that I could keep watching, keep accounting of my timing, you know, so that I don't go over. And because the last thing I want to do is have to edit. I really don't want to have to edit this. So, okay. Yeah, my timer, I'm doing really, really good. Okay, great. So we have done our personal assessment. And I've just given you some guidelines of things that you can look at. And like I said, if you go to my website, you can visit my website, prettyandink.com. You can go there and visit. I will have some of my worksheets, my ebooks, they're available for you to download. And especially if you need to be healed from something traumatic that happened in your past, because you can believe that that is a root that is deeply embedded with you, which is why it's so hard for it to be pulled out completely. And I'm sure that inciting incident is manifesting in negative ways in your life. And so if you do have something like that, today, now is the time to finally say, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to truly, me and God, I'm going to give it over to Him. I'm going to surrender it to Him and allow Him to begin to do a work in me, because I want to be better. You know, that process, it says that our hearts and our minds are renewed. And in order for that to happen, that means all of that old stuff has to be passed away. It can't be passed away if you keep walking and repeating that pattern of darkness. You have to detach yourself from that. It says, for once we were darkness, but now we are light. Walk as children of light. I'm sorry, I can't recall right now that the exact address to that scripture, but if you go on your phone and Google it, it'll pop right up. I should know that. It's one of my very favorite. I believe that's in Ephesians as well. I want to say Ephesians 8 or 9, something like that. Anyway, so I implore you, you know, take the time. You don't have to do this in one day. You know, you can take different aspects of your personal self, your mindset. What are your strongholds? You know, what is the limiting belief system that you're operating out of that is contradictive to the Word of God? You know, those are the things you really want to examine. And I'm not saying try to conquer everything all at once. It's too much. It's too big. It's too broad. I understand that. But you got to start somewhere. And so if your spiritual goal is going to be, I want to deepen my relationship with God, that means, baby, your prayer life has got to increase. It's just got to. If you want to go deeper with God, prayer, supplication, studying, all of those things go hand in hand. And you will find that just by making that one of your spiritual priorities, it's going to take care of a multitude of things, right? Okay. And so getting back to our family connections, our family relationships, taking better care of our family, being more loving towards our family, demonstrating more godly characteristics to our family, not being preachy, not being sanctimonious, but really showing compassion and love to our people. Sometimes we're more kind to strangers than we are to one another. And it's sad. I'm guilty of that myself. I had to really catch myself, you know. Why is it that I can, you know, be so kind to someone I don't even know, and someone that I profess to love, I want to strangle them? I'm just going to be honest. Yes, I do. I want to wrap my hands around their neck sometimes and choke them. Yes, you know. And why is that? Why is that? You know, there's a lot of things that need to be healed from in regards to our family relationships. And so, you know, taking the time to examine that, your husband, if you're married, your husband or wife, of course, that's where you start. You guys are the head and you should be one. You should be united. So before you can even trickle down to the children and whatever else, you two have to be one and on one accord. And there has to be that three-chord strand existing. If God is not in that, you're going to have some major issues. That's a lesson my husband and I learned ourselves. God has to be that part of that chord. He has to be in between the two of you. Both of you have to be submitted to God first. You know, in order for you as the man and the head of the family, just as Christ is the head of the church, you have to be submitted to God, to his leading, to his guiding and his direction, in order to be able to, you know, do what's best for your family and know what God wants for your family. How will you know that if you yourself are not fully submitted to God? And that means, you know, really taking a good assessment of yourself as the head of the family and how you lead your family and how you demonstrate Christ and his love to your family, to your wife first and foremost. And then to your children. That bond, that unit is very important. It's strong. It's what builds churches and communities, is by that family unit. It's why the family unit, is so important, okay? And then lastly, we're going to talk about ministry. For those of you who have been called to a specific ministry, God told you, this is what I want you to do. This is your mandate. Go out and do this. These are the people that you should be speaking to. First of all, you should know who God has assigned you to. You know, me specifically, I know it's for the broken. My ministry is reconciliation and restoration and deliverance. I know that. And so I know the people who I'm talking to, that's a broad category. A lot of people fall into that category. But the one word that I can use that will unify everyone that I might speak to is brokenness. There's brokenness. And that's what God wants me to speak to. He called me to heal, help him, you know, heal the body of Christ. And what I mean by when I say help him is, you know, through my testimony, for so that they can be overcome by my testimony, hear what God has done for me, and release themselves to the power of God so that he can come in and do the work. God does not force himself on anyone. We have to choose it. It has to be our choice. And that's why total surrender is so very important in that process. Okay, so when you're in ministry, you should have a clear idea of who you're ministering to, not just women. Women of Power International, very detailed, very specific. They know exactly who they're talking to. They're talking to all women, women in the body especially. Sisters in Christ, same thing, except for our focus is on leadership. Women who are in leadership within the body and in ministry within the body. And we try to speak specifically to the problems and the challenges that these women in this line of ministry and this elevation of ministry have to deal with, have to face. And that's what we deal with. And we try to speak to every part of that woman, because that woman usually is a mother. She's also a wife. All of those components that we spoke about are included in addition to ministry, in addition to being responsible for the leading and guiding of someone else's souls. You know, someone else's souls, right? Okay, and so you want to go back, you want to reevaluate, you know, what is it that God initially told me to do, you know? Am I doing that? You know, the same comparative. What am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, what is God requiring of me during this particular move in the body that's going on right now? Not the projected, but what's going on right now. How does God want you to operate in this season for this shift that's happening? So you want to take a look at that. You want to take a look at who is involved in your ministry. Look at the people that you're laboring with, you know, and if you are their spiritual leader in this ministry, then God has revealed certain things to you about them. Are you addressing those things? Are you catering to those who are co-laboring with you in the ministry? You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the events and the planning and, you know, the fundraising and all of that, we forget to take care of the souls that are surrounding us. So please, soul care is so very important in every aspect of your ministry. So pay attention to the souls that are around you that you're laboring with, co-laboring with. And then once you guys are unified and on one accord, then you assess who you're ministering to. Who are you reaching out to? And is your ministry effective, or does it need to be tweaked? You know, you look at, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Go back to God and ask him for clarity in the vision that he originally gave you. If you don't have the people in place that are executing the way that they should be executing, ask God to, you don't have to remove them. That's the one great thing about it. If you let God do his job, he will take care of it all. Your job is to pray, though. You know, pray, cover, let God do what he does. You know, ask him to send you the people that you need. You know, ask him to make clear to you. Maybe you thought you needed a certain specific type of person with a certain type of skill set, but it really wasn't, you know, as big as an attribute as you once thought it was going to be. Reassess those things, okay, in regards to your ministry. And then start to plan out, what are we going to do now? What's our next move? What is the long-term goal of this ministry for the year of 2017. Don't get too far ahead of yourselves. You know, and then start making the short-term goals. You know, if you are fundraising a lot, what are you raising those funds for? Where is the money going? Do you need to change the direction? Maybe you need to find new organizations to contribute to, whatever. Do a complete and total assessment of what's going on within your ministry. And I also believe that it's important to write out, just as you would write out a business plan, you should have a ministry plan. And it should be detailed. How structured that business plan is, your ministry plan should be just as structured. You know, of course, you know, we yield to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, but it is important to have that intention in place and to take the time to fully understand what it is that God is asking you to execute and to accomplish within the confines of that ministry. And the only way you can write that vision and make it plain so that anyone who reads it can run is if you fully understand what the vision is. You should be able to express it and articulate it. That's something that they teach you in regular business. If you're in an elevator, you should have your elevator pitch for your ministry. You should just know it right, boom, boom, boom. In a nutshell, you should be able to express that. And then if you had to give detail and go into depth about it, you should be able to do that as well. You shouldn't be doing things sporadically or spontaneously, although God does move that way sometimes. But ultimately, you should have a clear idea of what's going to happen this year. And so if you don't sit down, you and God, I would say before you begin to make these changes, I'm going to tell you the things that I feel is necessary first. First, there is a process of purification and sanctification. And I believe that comes through fasting. You know, so you definitely want to make some sacrifices, eliminate some things. And I'm not just talking about food. There are some things that are taking priorities in our lives that are interfering with our effectiveness in ministry. And so you need to get rid of those things. So that might mean on Wednesday nights, instead of watching Empire or Star when it starts, you're going to have to go and to Bible study, you know. You're going to have to, you know, set that time aside and spend more time in the Word of God, spending more time on your face, spending more time worshiping, you know, and meditating and listening, not just necessarily talking, but listening to hear what God has to say to you. And sometimes all of those things that are distractions, they become filters. And so that's how we lose the intensity of the vision, because we can't see it clearly. There are things that are blocking our view. So you want to remove those things. You know, fasting and prayer. I can't stress how important that is. And your study time. Study your word. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. Study your word. Get into it. Ask for the Holy Spirit to help you to rightly divide the word. Get amongst other people who are elevated in their studies so that you can be poured into. You need to seek the wisdom and counsel of others. None of us does this alone. So that's the second thing. Number two on my list is seek wisdom and counsel. I cannot express to you how important that is. If you're not in direct communication with your pastor of your church, with your leader, then that's something that needs to be rectified. And you need to seek that counsel and that guidance. The third thing is to make sure that you're writing your vision out. So that means set something aside, you know, so that you can go through step by step of the things that need to be done, what you want implemented, how you're going to go about doing it, how many fundraisers a year you're going. If you had too many and you were exhausted and you were tired or whatever, scale back. You can scale back, you know, especially if you don't have the manpower to assist you. Scale it back. It's okay. It's okay. Humble beginnings are okay. I think there's so much pressure in today's culture and society to do everything so big and so grand, you know, that we're losing sight of what's really important. And there's nothing wrong with starting small and being humble, you know. So if you have to scale it back, you know, and then, you know, be intentional. Write those things out. And then finally, I just lost my train of thought that quick. Oh, finally, after you've gone through all of those steps and all of those things, you know, find your joy and your excitement in serving God again. Some of us are burnt out. We've been doing ministry in so many different ways and so many different forms for so many years. We're just tired. We're spent, you know. So, and if finding your joy, I mean, in servitude, that means if you need to go to a revival, if you need to go to a conference, if you need a retreat. I want to say every ministry should have a mini retreat where you just all relax, pour into one another. That's it. No labor involved, just restoration. It is important. It really, really is. We have to learn how to rest in God as well. I think the culture of this society also, you know, makes us want to just feel like if we're standing still, we're being unproductive and we don't have any value or any worth. And that's not necessarily so. It's okay to rest in God. God himself rested. I'm going to give credit to Pastor Chantel. She said, if God created the whole world in 6 days and on the seventh day he rested, surely I can stop too. And that is absolutely true. Give yourself that space and that time, you know. Revisit why you're doing what you're doing in the first place. Rediscover the joy in serving the Lord, because that is your strength. That is what's going to help you to endure and to persevere through those trials and those tests that are surely going to come in ministry. So that's basically it. I wish that I could have had more time to go into more detail and more depth, but don't worry. I have a hard time saying that word, but don't worry, because in January, we're going to be revisiting this study on our YouTube channel. I don't know if I mentioned that we're on YouTube, but Women of Power International is on YouTube, so go look for us there. Our video series is going to start in January. We're very excited. I want to encourage you and uplift you, those of you who are just on this personal journey trying to discover and develop your relationship with God, and those of you who are in ministry and trying to further deepen your relationship and your outreach and your service to God. I want to encourage you as well. And so I'm just going to pray us out. Father God, we just thank you for this time that you've given us. I pray that the words that you gave to me help to be good soil for those to plant in, God, and that they will produce a beautiful harvest, God. I pray for those who are feeling weary, Lord, that you will give them rest, and that they know that their value and that their identity is in you. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in what we do. It's not in what we wear. It's not in who we know, God. It's in our relationship. And because you have adopted us into our family, that is what gives us our value. That is what gives us our worth. It's not about what we can buy and what we can't buy. It is that precious gift that you gave to us through your Son, God, that we celebrate this season of love, this season of joy, this season of peace, God. Let that spirit take precedence in our hearts today, God, and help us to move forward in victory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, God bless.